But the truth is, there's a lot of you, I think, that don't know who I am. And that's okay, because it really is not about me. It's not about who I am. But I do want you to know a little bit about me, because if you're going to spend a week with me, I think you ought to know who you're going to spend a week with. Does that make sense? I mean, come on. Brother Keith tells you you need to come back every night. Well, I'm not so sure I want to hang out with this guy. I don't know nothing about him. Why do I want to come back for? So I want to talk a little bit about my journey. And then today I want to give you just an overview of what we are going to look at this week. Because there is a lot of material that we're going to cover. I really need about 50 hours, and I don't have that much time. So we're going to try to jam it in to a few nights this week. But my name is Mitch Griffin. I grew up Free Will Baptist. I was a Free Will Baptist before I was born. I attended my first Free Will Baptist National Association meeting at 7 months old. So I was Free Will Baptist before I was saved. I was Free Will Baptist before I was born. That's just what I knew. That's all I ever knew. I grew up in the Free Will Baptist church. I went to Free Will Baptist schools. That's who I was. I was a Free Will Baptist. I was born and raised in it. And I got saved at an early age, I thought. And maybe I did. I went to a Christian school in an early age. I said a sinner's prayer, and I was baptized, and I continued to go on to church and things. But early on in my life, it didn't take me long to figure out that I was much more interested in what was going on outside the church than what was going on inside the church. Some of you might can relate to that. So at 16 years old, I left home. I left the church, I left home, I went and did my own thing, and I ran that road just as hard and fast as I could run it till I was 21 years old. And at 21, God got a hold of me. I mean, He got a hold of me. My transformation, I say transformation, it was a salvation experience, but it was such a radical transformation. I went literally, guys, from, is it okay that I said I smoked crack, Keith? Is that all right? I went from smoking crack to within a month in Nashville, Tennessee at the Free Will Baptist Bible College. I mean, that's how quickly God just turned things around. And, man, it was awesome. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know when you met Jesus, if you've met Jesus, if you met Him the way I did, but He rocked my world. And it was so profound. My life was not the same. He took drugs and alcohol from me. I didn't have any desire for that anymore. It was gone. And here I was in Bible college training to be a preacher, because there's nothing I could imagine doing more than this. But I realized I still had some issues. I rode that high for a while, and it was a good while. But within 3 months, or 3 years, not months, Lord, no. Within 3 years, I'm pastoring my first church. I get married. And relatively quickly in that first church, I recognized something that you may not be aware of. I can't please you. As a pastor, I recognize that there's a whole lot of expectations that you guys had for me, and there's no way. If I did what you wanted me to do, I couldn't do what you wanted me to do, and I was just in a mess. Because a lot of my issues that led me down my journey early on were issues of not feeling good enough. Can anybody relate to that? Early in my journey, I developed this phrase. I've never been good at anything but messing up. I'm going to clean it up a little bit. Never been good at anything but messing up, but I'm really good at that. And I was. I was an excellent mess up until I got saved. Then I was going to be an excellent, well, what's the opposite of mess up? A good up. I don't know. I was going to be an excellent. I was going to go for God with all that I had, and I did. But I realized something in this journey. Once I had a wife and I had responsibilities and I had all these things pressing down on me, I knew that I couldn't do it. I was still a failure. I still felt like a failure. I still felt like I was not good enough. Here's this woman that I can't please, that I don't know what to do with. Here's this church that I can't please, that I don't know what to do with. And guys, I sank into the pit of despair. I sank into a depression that I can only begin to describe. It was a deep hole that I couldn't crawl out of for many years. I was still pastoring. And I, you know, it was in this time that I came. Many of you who knew me when I was depressed. You didn't know it because I could get up here and do this. But at home, I was depressed. At home, I was a wreck. At home, my life, can I say sucked? Because it did. And throughout the process, it's a long story and I don't have time to go into all of it, but I got on some medication. And medication helped me to begin to deal with some of the stuff that I was struggling with, but it didn't solve the problem. And what did happen over a process of time, that medication didn't work anymore, so they had to up the dosage of the medication. And over a period of 10 years, I wound up maxed out on two, taking a third, taking sleeping pills and all these other cocktail of drugs every day of my life just to learn, just to survive, just to get through, just to make it without feeling like crawling in a hole and dying. And that was my existence. That's where I was until I ran into a ministry in Thomaston, Georgia. Kind of an interesting thing because I was pastoring a church in Thomaston. And this ministry that was there, I'd heard some stories about these folks, and they really were good stories. But a friend of mine came and went through this ministry and got some tremendous freedom, so they paid for me to go. How many of you know if it's free, you'll do it, right? So they paid for me to go, and I went. And guys, I can't describe to you what happened to me. When the principles that they presented, once I saw it, it made sense. My life was radically changed. I was able to come off of all that medication, and my life has never been the same. So there's some truths that I look for many years. And what's interesting is these truths that I'm going to present to you this week, they're not new. I'm not going to share anything with you this week that you haven't heard before, I promise you. Now, there may be a few elements, a few little nuances of things you haven't thought about that way before, but nothing that I'm going to share is new. Now, that makes you want to stay all week, doesn't it? But I want you to understand something. There's a scripture, and I'll get to it in a minute. Don't put it up yet. But there's a scripture that I'm going to end with today that talks about this. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many of us know the truth? Wait a minute now. Maybe a trick question. I don't know if I want to raise my hand or not. Because the truth is, if I know the truth, I should be free. But are you free? And guys, I want to be real with you this week. Can I be real with you this week? Because the truth is, so many of us live life. We walk in these doors on Sunday morning and we put on these faces. We put on these plastic smiles and we pretend like everything's all right when the truth is everything's not all right. Many of us are barely surviving. Many of us are barely scraping through and we're wondering why. We're standing on the scriptures best we know how. We're reading the Bible. We're praying. We're fasting. We're doing everything that the people tell us we're supposed to do and it's not working. Why? Well, it must be God. God don't love me. God hates me. I've done too much. I've gone too far. There's just too much going on in my life. It's my fault. I'm the problem. That's why I can't make it through. Is that the answer? No, it's not the answer. And guys, I got to tell you, there's some simple truths in Scripture that have been there all along that we maybe have read past without really stopping and looking at. The truth will make you free. But just because I have memorized the scripture doesn't mean that I know the truth. It doesn't mean that I have learned how to practically apply that truth to my life. So many of us are full of head knowledge, but that head knowledge is not doing us a lick of good. We have to learn how to get out of our heads into our spirit. Because, guys, this is a spiritual issue that we're dealing with. We're dealing with a very real spiritual king. Did you know God is real? Did you know that? We just sang about it. And we need to, as the song said, develop an awareness of his presence. Absolutely. He's here. He's in this room. But can I tell you, he's not the only spirit in this room. That there's other components of another kingdom that is at work in the earth today. And yes, they're in this church today that is at work. And we can quote all day long, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but that doesn't mean that we're not. I was. I was ignorant to how the enemy ensnared me. I was ignorant to how he filled me with all these thoughts and feelings and impressions that led me down this road into bondage. There's some scriptures you're probably familiar with. Isaiah tells us that God's people have gone into captivity. Why? Because they have no knowledge. Hosea talks about God's people being destroyed for a lack of knowledge or for rejecting knowledge. There's knowledge, there's understanding that God has given us, but do we really know that truth and apply that truth to our lives? Now, I don't want to come here and bring a lot of guilt and shame and condemnation. That's not the point, because that's not your father. That's not what this is about. I want to bring you hope. I want to bring you today a sense of expectation and a sense of hope and a sense that you too can find freedom that I found, that many other people have found through the principles that I'm going to share with you this week. Would that be all right? Anybody in this room need some hope? Anybody in this room need a glimmer of hope that maybe things can really be the way God says they're supposed to be? How many of you, like me, have read the book and seen the promises and are about fed up to hear with the promises because it ain't working? I mean, I don't know. Can I just be that real with you? I mean, sometimes people just throw these religious platitudes at you. Well, you know, it's all working out for good. I just want to slap them. Don't feed me some religious platitude. Don't feed me some religious mess when you don't even know what it is going on in my life. And truth is, you don't want to know. If you did know, you'd go tell the world. Come on now. We're going to get real this week. Can we get real? But the truth is, guys, if we're going to make it into abundant life, if we're going to make it into the life that Jesus Christ died for us to have, we have to begin to get real and honest with ourselves. We have to get real and honest with our Father. And we're going to have to get real and honest with some other folks, because we can't do this journey alone. So I think I'm going to flip-flop on you, my brother up there. So we're going to start out with some pictures, but I'm going to end with some pictures, all right? I want to just kind of jump into the scripture. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here's just some scripture. We'll get into what we're going to look at this week, but I wanted to just show you this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. What does perilous mean? Is that fun and exciting? No, it's not fun and exciting. There's some rough days ahead. Now, I want you to think about this list that we're about to read. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfishness. Covetousness. Do we covet? Do we want what other people have? We look over there at them and their wife and their husband, their life, their family, their boat, their pool, their this, their that. Covetousness. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. What does that mean? I just don't have the natural affection that I should. I don't even love my wife. I don't love my kids. I treat them like an animal, kick them around. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers, incontinent. What's that? Just mean. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, I want you to pause with me for a minute. As you look through that list isn't describing those people out there. Is it? That list is describing the church. That list is describing those who claim the name of Jesus, those who call themselves believers, those who are a part of the body of Christ, and yet this is the nature and the character of what's manifesting in their lives. Is that good news? And again, I'm not trying to beat you up. That's not my point. I'm not here to beat you up. But I do want to show you why. Because right here it says in the next verse, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many of us are doing that? We're ever learning. Constantly reading books and listening to sermons and constantly, you know, doing our own Bible studies and all these other things, looking for more knowledge, more understanding, more. Ever learning, but for what good? It's not producing knowledge of the truth. It's producing knowledge. I can quote the Bible. I can tell you how many, come on, let's just be honest. How many of you can help somebody else but can't help yourself? How many of you know what to tell somebody else to do but can't do it yourself? What is this? That's a bunch of church folks who have a whole lot of head knowledge. I can tell you what you're supposed to do. And if you listen to me, it works. But it ain't working in my life. Maybe it's because I'm not doing it, or maybe whatever. But here it is. I've gained all this knowledge. But I don't know how to do it. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Guys, what I have for you this week isn't more knowledge. You don't need more sermons. Sorry, preacher. You don't need more knowledge. Your problem is not a lack of knowledge. Your problem is not that you don't understand enough. Our problem is we don't know how to put into practice into our life what we do know. We don't know how to practically, simply apply the Word of God so that our life begins to look like what the Bible says instead of just having a bunch of stuff in my head. That's what I want to bring you this week. I want to bring you a very simple understanding. There's some simple principles that need to be explained. We're going to do that in the first two or three settings. I want to lay out for you some basic principles. When you look at the word restore, and I don't have any notes for you today, I apologize. I'll have you some Monday. I just didn't get them in time. But when you look at the word restore, that first R stands for something. We're going to talk about relationships. Do you know what the Bible says is the most important commandment? I mean, come on, you know this is simple stuff. What does the Bible say? What does Jesus say is the greatest commandment? I'm hearing people mumble. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. The second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here's three areas of relationship that we're going to dive into and we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what it really means to be in proper relationship with the Father, with God, with the Godhead. You know there's three members of the Godhead? You've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We need to understand all three and how to interact and relate to all three. Did you know that you are to be in right relationship with yourself? Notice it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Can I say it this way? You can't love your neighbor till you love yourself. You can't effectively and truly love someone else until you learn how to love yourself. You can act like it, but it's all fabrication. It's all pretend. It's not real, guys. It's not real because it's not coming out of a source of purity. It's coming out of a source of duty and obligation. We have to come to a place of being able to receive from our Father so that I can learn to know who I am and love and appreciate myself so that I can then love and appreciate you correctly. Those are the three areas of relationship that are absolutely vital to our understanding how to live this life. You already knew that, didn't you? That isn't new to you. That concept isn't, but I promise you, as we dive into it, I'm going to show you some things you hadn't thought about. The second component, the second principle that we're going to look into, E, restored, E, is the enemy. Do you know that you've got an enemy? I mean, anybody in here aware that there's a devil? I'm not scaring you to talk about the fact that there's an enemy out there, right? But do we really understand that enemy? Do we really understand how the enemy is in operation in our life? I don't think so. I wasn't. And a lot of people that I talk to through the years, they're not. They don't know. They don't understand how the enemy is at work, and it's the enemy, not them, causing all this trouble. They don't see that. They don't understand that. So we're going to talk about how the enemy works. And can I give you just a little tidbit? His primary objective is to interfere in your three areas of relationship. Most of what he's doing is causing breakdown in relationship with God, breakdown in relationship with yourself, and breakdown in relationship with somebody else. That's really most of what he's doing in the world today. And once we begin to understand it and see it, it gets a whole lot simpler in how we deal with our enemy. The third principle, S, separation. Romans chapter 7 is a scripture we all are familiar with. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I do. Anybody relate? I said that very quickly, but you're familiar with it, right? Paul talks about how the things that he wants to do, he's not doing. Anybody else feel that way? Anybody ever set out to try to do something good? You want to, you have desire to, but it just don't happen? How about anybody else got stuff going on in your life you wish wasn't there? You hate it. Paul says, I hate it, but I do it. You got things in your life you hate, but you keep doing it? Ain't nobody going to be honest with me, not one of you. Because everybody in this room needs to raise your hand. You know you do. But we don't understand this. So we're going to break down this understanding so we can come to a place of understanding how to separate myself from the influence of the enemy in my life. I promise you, this element alone is worth the price of admission, and it's free. The price of admission is free, by the way. I'm not charging you for this. You with me? That was a joke. Laugh. The understanding of separation in and of itself is a huge component to what brought me my freedom. Because I was under the influence of the enemy, and I thought it was my own thoughts. I thought it was me. I thought this is just how I am. This is how I think. This is how I live. This is how I respond. This is how I react. I didn't know that the enemy had influenced me. I was following it. I didn't understand it. So we're going to bring you an understanding of how to separate yourself from the influence of the enemy. Those are the three principles. Simple principles. Then we're going to talk about the practical process of how you do this. What's the next? Restore T. That stands for thoughts. Did you know that there's really only three sources of thoughts? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive. What's every mean? All of them. Sounds like a lot of work. Well, you're having them anyway. But if I can learn how to take a thought captive and discern who the source of that thought is, I can go a long way to defeating the enemy. I promise you, once we get into this and I begin to show this to you, you're going to be amazed at how many times you're following the enemy and didn't even know it. You're just letting him lead you along. And what does the Bible say? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Sons of God. Those who are led by the spirit of Satan are what? Ouch. You wonder why we're not living in freedom, why we're not living in abundance? I'm going to show you why. Because in a vast majority of our lives, I got to tell you guys, once I saw this, I realized the vast majority of my thoughts were not my own. But I was listening, I was following them, I was obeying them, and it was producing bondage and despair and depression. You reap what you sow. You sow what you reap. You with me? Just leading you along. We're going to teach you how to take your thoughts captive. What's next? R-E-S-T-O. We're going to talk about that word obedience. Did you know that obedience really isn't optional? The vast majority of the church acts like obedience is optional. God loves me. Jesus paid for it at the cross. Everything's taken care of. But guys, obedience is not optional. Here we are. We're trying to receive the promises. We're trying to appropriate the promises of the cross in our life. In obedience, not in disobedience. Does that make sense? I'm not taking you back into legalism. We're not talking about legalism. We're just talking about very simple blessing and cursing. If your kid acts the fool, are you going to bless him? If you do, you got some problems we need to talk about. Because many people do. Many people bless their kids acting like a fool and wonder why they're acting like a fool. God's not going to do that. God's not going to bless our foolishness, but he will bless our obedience. Obedience is not optional. We're going to talk about what that looks like. And not in a condemning way. Obedience is good. God knows best. The title, the name of my ministry, Life God's Way. Because honestly, life God's way is the best. He knows the right way. He's designed me. He's created me. His way works. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that doing things the way God says it works? Even though he tells you when somebody slaps you on one cheek to turn the other one. I mean, we can say amen until we start getting specific. Even when he tells you to live by faith. You know what living by faith means? It means you don't have it. Faith, by definition, is what? The substance of things hoped for. Do you really want to live your life hoping for something you ain't got yet? No, you don't. You don't. None of us do. We want security. We want assurance. We talk about faith. Faith is awesome, as long as I ain't got to exercise it. When I got to exercise it, it's a struggle. So, here, guys, I just want to get real with you. We've got to learn how to be obedient to his word. It wasn't, you know, just a suggestion. It was a commandment. What's next? R-E-S-T-O-R. Repentance. Can we talk about repentance? Is it going out of fashion to talk about what repentance looks like? I'm teaching you a process whereby we learn how to take our thoughts captive so that we recognize what we've been listening to and what we've been participating with so that we can come to a place of choosing obedience so that now I know how to repent. I know what I'm repenting for. I know that I understand where I've been going the wrong way and I'm allowing my Father to turn me into another direction. I want to teach you a process to repentance. There's 7 steps I want to talk about. We're going to get into that. And last one. What's that? E? What's E? Exercise. Hebrews 5:14. You know that those who can handle strong meat are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Guys, what I'm telling you this week is not something that by the end of the week you're just going to have it. Woohoo! Good. I got it. Check. No. I'm going to teach you a process of life. I'm going to teach you a way of thinking, speaking, and acting that you're going to have to begin to exercise, that you're going to have to begin to walk in 24/7. But I promise you, the more you'll walk in this, the more freedom you'll find. The more you walk in it, the more mature you will become. The more you understand and apply these principles, the greater you're going to be. It's true. And last, D, restored, duh, past tense. We're going to talk about door points. What is that? Well, there's one right there. It's just simply a point of entry. I want to help you begin to understand how the enemy got into your life and how to deal with those areas where he got into your life so that you can close that door and move into freedom. Does that make sense? There's things that have happened to us. Some things go way back. Some of us have things that happened when we were 2, 3, 4 years old, 5 years old. That are still affecting us today. And affecting us in a negative way. That the enemy's still using. He's still at work. Bringing bondage. Bringing his blessings. Not God's blessings into our life. As a result of that stuff. So that ain't fair. He's not fair. But wouldn't it be great to be able to understand why? Why you have the issues that you have today? Based on some stuff that's going on in the past. Wouldn't it be great to know how to get free from that so that you can deal with it and move on the rest of your life into freedom? I turned 40 years old after I got this, and I told my wife, wow, the last 40 really stunk, but the next 40 are going to be awesome. So, guys, I want you to begin to understand, I don't care how old you are here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. What's important is how many days you've got left. Can we finish well? Can we finish well? Can we move from this day forward in a different path, in a different direction, and finish well? Are you with me? Let me get back to my scriptures. 2 Timothy 1:7. Ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what I want to bring you this week, is knowledge of truth. I want to bring you to an intimate awareness and a learning process of application so that you aren't ignorant. That you don't just know something, but you know how to live something. Is that all right? Hebrews 5. Let's go there. I quoted verse 14, but verse 11 says this. Hebrews 5, 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Well, that'll make a great title for a sermon. You're dull of hearing. But for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Paul's saying, look, by this time you ought to be doing this. You ought to be teaching this. You ought to be living this and helping others, but you need somebody to come begin and teach the first principles. You know, the guys who are experts in anything. Any ball players in the crowd? Anybody like ball? Come on, y'all got to do better than this. We're going to have a long week. Any ball players in the house? All right. What are the most important elements to any aspect of playing ball? What do they do? When you begin to play ball, what do? They teach you what? The fundamentals. They teach you the fundamentals. Even the pros, you know what they still practice? The fundamentals. But here we are as a church, as the body of Christ, and for whatever reason, we feel like the fundamentals are elementary. Well, they are. They're elementary because they are elementary. They're elementary because they're simple, because they are very practical. But we move past the fundamental, practical elements of the faith, trying to move on into something else. Guys, you got to get this first. You've got to get these basic fundamental understandings of truth and apply them into your life. Then you can teach others. Then you can show somebody else how to live this life. But you've got to get it under your belt. That's not a negative statement. It's just saying, look, there's a whole lot of us who have learned a lot of truth, but we don't know how to apply it. There's a whole lot of us that by this time we should be teaching other people, but we still need somebody to come help me learn how to live this life. That's not a negative statement. It is just a statement of reality. What does Paul continue to say? Next verse. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, unskillful in the word. Is that what it says? No, it says in the word of righteousness. Is there a difference between unskillful in the word? I love the fact that our kids are memorizing scripture. How awesome is it that we have kids up here? I can't even understand what he's saying, but he's saying something about the Bible. I mean, that's awesome. But just because I understand the word, I'm skillful in the word. Guys, I grew up Free Will Baptist. I started Bible memorization and went all the way through all of the CTS and the competition and learned all the Bible and the sword drill and the tic-tac-toe, all that stuff. But what did all of that knowledge and being skilled in the word produce? No righteousness. He's saying everyone that useth milk is unskillful in what? The word of righteousness. How many of us are skilled in how to apply the word to righteousness in our life? Let's just be honest. How many of you know how to take the word of God and allow it to produce righteousness in your life? He's saying those who need milk have to go back to the basics, have to go back to the fundamentals, have to go back to a basic, simple understanding, so that we can begin to learn how to be skillful in not just the word, but skillful in the word of righteousness. God, I'm trying to tear through something here today. I'm not here to bring you more intellectual understanding. Forget about it. That's not my point. That's not what this week is about. any intellectual superiority has to go. We've got to come back to the simple understanding. Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. We need some kids. Can we go back to kindergarten? Can we go back to first grade? Can we go back to a very simple concept of Scripture that works? Would that be all right for you? Now, if that's not what floats your boat, I'm sorry, that's what we're going to do all this week. So we may have a smaller crowd, Keith. That's all right. I don't care. If you're coming with a desire to get the Word of God to a level in your life where it produces righteousness, come on. Let's do it. Because that's what we're after this week. Learning how to understand these principles and a practical application of life that produces righteousness. There's a little quote from Dr. Henry Wright, the founder of the ministry. And I love this quote. He says, the real gospel of Jesus Christ produces fruit, not just another spiritual theory. I love that quote. How about you? I have my belly full of spiritual theories. Our books in the Christian bookstore are full of spiritual theories. You can sell another book with another spiritual theory, but the real gospel of Jesus Christ produces fruit, not another spiritual theory. We don't need more knowledge. We don't need more understanding. We need to apply what we already know. That's what we're going to do this week. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. I'm almost done. Knowledge puffeth up. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth not yet as he ought to know. Boy, this scripture challenges me. Because I'm up here teaching you like I know something. But this scripture is saying, any man think that he knows anything, he knoweth not yet as he ought to know. What does that mean? You think you know something? Watch out, because you don't know nothing. You think you've got it figured out. You think you now understand something and you can handle it, you can deal with it. You don't know nothing the way you ought to. What is Paul saying? Guys, we can't get into pride. We can't reach this element of feeling like I understand everything and I've got it all figured out and I know how it's going to work and I don't need God anymore. You'll never do this without your Father. The first thing we're going to talk about is this understanding of relationship and connection with God, your Father. We need a daddy. We need his wisdom. We need his... Let me give you something. This is free. You know what grace is? I thought I knew what grace was. God's riches at Christ's expense, right? That's the acronym we heard all our life. I challenge you, go home and look it up in your Strong's Concordance tonight. You know what the New Testament Greek definition of grace is? Anybody? Some of you do. I know you do. God's divine influence on the human heart and its reflection in the life. Right there in the Greek. The definition of grace. God's divine influence on the human heart and its reflection in the life. You know what this helps me do? It helps me stay out of pride. Because every day of my life, I need to remember that if I think I know something, I'm way off base. I need God to influence me. Guys, if you don't get nothing else I say this week, get this. You need the influence of God. You need his knowledge. You need his wisdom. You need his understanding. And he's promised to give it. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome that our Father wants to talk to us? That our Father desires to give us wisdom? And didn't he say that? If you lack wisdom, what do? Ask. Lack wisdom, ask. And what is he going to do? He's going to give. Why? Because that's who he is. It's his nature. It's his character. He wants to influence you. Can I tell you, please come back, but can I tell you that you've been influenced by a lot of other things? And that you've not been influenced correctly by your Father? All these other voices are so much louder. They feel so much more strong. They're so real. They feel so powerful and overwhelming. But you know what the voice of your father feels like? You never heard it, you don't know. It's just a still, small voice. Elijah learned this. God didn't speak in the earthquake. God didn't speak in the fire. He wasn't in the whirlwind. It was in that still, small voice. And guys, I got to tell you, we've got to learn. We've got to learn how, when the enemy is swirling and his influence is screaming and we hear and we feel and we think all these things that we know are not from our Father, I've got to learn to get still and to get quiet and to look for His grace. Because I promise you, every time He's speaking, today, right now, He's speaking. By His Spirit, He wants to influence you. By His Spirit, He wants you to know, John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in My Word, you are My disciple indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Guys, we've got to continue in His Word. Not just in memorizing, but continue in the application of the Word. We shall know the truth. That's all I've got for you this week. I'm going to bring very simple truth, but I want to bring it in a way that when you leave this place, you know it intimately. It's not just head knowledge. You now understand how to live it, how to walk in it, how to apply it in your life, and it will set you free. It will. Last scripture I got, and I'm done. 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We got to get real with each other, guys. I can claim to be a Christian all day long. I can claim I know Him. I can claim I know the truth. But if I claim it and I'm not walking in it, I'm a liar. Any of you who've read my blog know that I talk about this. Because literally the week before I went to this program and heard these principles, I said to God, I can't do this anymore. I cannot continue to get in the pulpit and preach Your Word. I see it, but I'm not living it. I'm a liar. I'm living a lie because I preach it and I preach it and I preach it, but it's not in reality in my life. My wife doesn't see it. My kids don't see it. Can you pop up them pictures for me? This is my family. That's my bunch right there. There's my wife. Go on through. There's my boys. That's LaDonna. My oldest, Levi, right there. My middle boy, Micah. He's the mess. My baby boy, Garrett. My number one responsibility on this planet is not to be here talking to you. My number one responsibility on this planet is to be a husband and a father. I had to learn that. I had to learn what it's like to be true. I can quote scripture. I can teach you. I can be anything you want me to be. But at home, to that woman and to those boys, if I'm not living it, I'm a liar. Now, guys, I'm not trying. This is not to bring condemnation. This is to bring you to a place of reality. Because I know sitting in this room, some of you aren't living it. It's not because you don't want to. It's not because you haven't tried. It's because you don't know how. I want to help you this week learn how. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. I'm not going to tell you that instantly you're going to be that husband, that father, you're going to be this super Christian, but I want to give you a simple understanding of some basic, simple concepts and a very practical process that will help you begin the journey into reality. You know what abundant life is? Seeing that woman smile. Seeing those kids happy when I come home. You know what abundant life is? When I walk out the door this morning and my kids are crying because they don't want daddy to leave. I remember when I was glad my daddy left. I'm not trying to paint a picture of my father, but I'm trying to turn around a tide of generational iniquity that has worked in the Griffin family. Guys, I'm not the man I want to be. I'm not the husband yet that I want to be. I'm not the father yet that I want to be, but I am on the journey there. And I promise you, I'm a long way from what I used to be. Isn't that scripture? From glory to glory, we are being changed. So right now, I am manifesting. I can talk all day. What time is it? I ain't got a clock nowhere. Y'all in trouble. Ephesians 3:10 says this, that now, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers. What does that mean? You and I, as the body of Christ, you know what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be manifesting and declaring the wisdom of God to an invisible kingdom that we cannot see. When I treat my wife different than I used to, I'm manifesting to that kingdom the wisdom and the character and the nature of God. I'm saying to that kingdom, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. The things that ruled me, that ruled my father, that ruled my grandfather will no longer rule me. And I'm going to help my kids so it doesn't rule them as well. Guys, that's what I'm going to be talking about this week. If that sounds like something you want a little bite of, come on back. Tonight, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into this concept of relationship. We're created for relationship. We're created to be known of God, for God to know you. We're created to know yourself. Don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about this if you're coming back tonight. How many of you don't really like who you are? Let's just be flat honest. When you lay your head on your pillow at night and all the world is quiet, do you like yourself? Do you feel like God's proud of you? Do you feel like you are His son? How about other people? Anybody in here got a relationship with others? I got to tell you, in my journey, it hasn't been until just recently that I've developed real relationship with anybody. We're going to talk about what it looks like to be honest with God, honest with ourselves about ourselves, and honest relationship with others, because that's where it starts. That's where abundant life comes from. And it is in those relationships that our enemy works to bring the most torment. We're going to get into it tonight. I think I'm done, Brother Keith.
I'm going to let our musicians come. Let's stand. We're going to give you an opportunity. The Lord may be already stirring in your heart and just bringing you to a place that you know you need different. A good place to start is always just to acknowledge a need. Just to acknowledge a need. The Bible says, the Father said this, he knows what you need before you even ask. But you don't have it because you don't ask for it. And so you may have already identified some areas in your life. Brother Mitch just gave you the rough draft this morning, but there may be one of these points that kind of resounded in your heart, and you already know there's a need there. I want you to just start this week off by saying, Father, here's what I need for you to do in my life this week. And just come this morning and invite Him to do something, to begin a process of transformation in you that'll take you from glory to glory to glory. I tell you, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I want to be. And I'm praying for the Lord to do some things in my life this week that puts me back on a road of growth and abundance. Do you need to come this morning as we sing?
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken heart, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal.